We'll be talking about the epistle reading. Can you hear me? And if you would turn either to page 80 of your liturgy book, or you will find the epistle reading in your missal on the back page. Or notice I am actually using a mobile device, and we do encourage that. In another time we'll be talking about proper use of these in church, but I've silenced it, but I'm looking at the reading here. So we've been reading passages from the epistle, Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the city of Corinth. And you know, if you're Greek or you know your geography, you know that it's in the modern state of Greece in the European Union. And so Paul is the one that actually went first and preached to the Corinthians. So you can, if you're from Corinth, hold your pride. Yes, you were preached to by Paul, but Corinth had a lot of problems. And if you read the epistles or you read the commentaries on the epistles to the Corinthians, you realize that while a cross-section of society, of socioeconomic class, and you know, various people had believed and become Christians and were members of the church, you know, they had all kinds of problems, and there were some ethical and moral issues that were going on even within the church that Paul addresses in the epistles. And you know, we can do that some other time perhaps. But anyway, he stayed quite a while there in Corinth, so we can imagine that he had a personal relationship. He was familiar with the people he was addressing in this letter. So in the previous week, we talked about him saying, you know, look, I need to correct you on these things, and I want you to imitate me in my Christian life, because you might have a lot of teachers, but I'm your father. I'm your spiritual father in Christ. If you remember that from last week, he stated he was their spiritual father. So they have this familiarity. So keep that in mind as we look at the text here, because Paul basically felt that he needed somehow to kind of prove that he was a real apostle. Remember, he was not one of the 12. He had not followed Jesus around, you know, those 3 years that the Lord had his ministry. As a matter of fact, he persecuted Christians in the beginning. And on top of all that, he wasn't Greek. So was he real? Was he really Orthodox? Sorry. Or Russian, or Bulgarian, or Georgian, or Lebanese, or Syrian. He was, you know, Jewish. White, in other words. So he needed to sort of affirm that he was an apostle. And he said, he's doing this now to people that know him. So basically the syllogism here is, you guys, you Corinthians, this church, I planted you, I taught you, you've received the grace, you're manifesting, you know, fruits of the Holy Spirit. You believe, you're members of the church, you are my seal, you know, you're my success story to some degree. And at the end he says, the proof that he is an apostle is that he's done all these things that will be in the above it, but he says, but I didn't use any of my authority or my rights on you that other apostles could and do have a right to be paid, to be fed, to be, you know, all these things that's listed there. He says, and for all that, I did it for free for you guys. So on top of just my work that I did not charge you anything. That would be like, well, I don't want to say what it's like. It'd be like me doing my work, you know, and not getting paid and say, I'm just doing this for free. I'm going to get another job and do all this stuff, you know, or the priests, you know, in the parish saying, you know, we're going to be your full-time priest, but we're not going to charge you anything. So that's really above and beyond. The normal is, and that's what all this passage is going to say, is going to prove that it is correct to pay, to support, you know, in the physical and material things, the ministers. But Paul, on top of it, which is why we call him a paramount of the apostles, on top of all that, from the Corinthians, maybe from others he took, but he didn't want to take from the Corinthians, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So now let's just go through here and just make sense of what he says. He says, this is my defense to those who would examine me. And now some of his questions, they're rhetorical questions, and they're a little elliptical. Some of the words are missing. So he says, do we not have the right to our food and drink? In other words, do we not have the right to get from you, the people we minister, Paul is saying, do we not have the right from you, Corinthians, to get our food and drink? The answer is yes, we do have the right, okay? We do have the right to get that. Do we not have the right to be accompanied by a wife as the other apostles. Actually, the Greek says adelphi gynaeka, which says sister wife, and not in the Mormon sense. But here the translators just decided to remove the word adelphi. But basically, some of the other apostles would bring their wives as sisters to minister to them, much like the Lord had, you know, his mother and Mary Magdalene and those women, the so-called myrrh-bearing women. They followed the Lord. There was a team of, like, Philoptochos women. I mean, they were the, you know, women's auxiliary of the gospel that were, you know, that were taking care, maybe cooking and cleaning, but also they were able to enter into, you know, where men could not go, you know, where the other women who wanted to hear the gospel were at. And so these Christian women were all, you know, actually evangelists in their own right as well. But he's saying, so I don't take a wife with me, probably because he wasn't married. But I mean, are we the only ones that, you know, we don't do that? The other ones do it. It's fine. It's allowed. But, you know, we have to take care of ourselves. He says, me and Barnabas, are we the only ones that have to actually work for a living? He was a tent maker, you know. He's kind of promoting himself, but remember who he's doing it to. He's doing it to, you know, to intimate people that know him intimately. And sometimes we give ourselves permission to vent and to unload to people. You know, we say, you know, I did this. I do this. I don't do this. I don't take advantage of you here, he's saying. He says, now he doesn't leave any argument untouched. As if it weren't enough that the letter to the Corinthians is being read, you know, 2,000 years later. Is that enough, you know, a seal of approval that Paul's an apostle? But anyway, how would he know, right? So he's saying, farmers, you know, when farmers are allowed to eat from their crops, you know, and people who take care of animals, of course they're going to partake of, you know, some of the milk that their cows and stuff, you know, give. And even in the army, does anyone like serve in the army and pay their own way? We're in the army of the Lord, you know, but for all that, we pay our own way. So you can kind of make the connection, but that's the syllogism. He's trying to show that through human logic, through life in the world, through agriculture, military, even in the Old Testament where it says, you know, don't muzzle an ox that is, you know, that is working for you so that he can at least take, you know, what he needs. He's saying all those things were written for us, that the workers of the gospel should be supported by the people who are being benefited. And in short, in a nutshell, says, if we have sown spiritual good things among you, is it too much if we reap material benefits? Not to become super rich, but just the things that they need. Food, drink, clothing, you know, travel money, whatever, not other big mansions and things. And he says, if others share this rightful claim upon you, but weird translation, he says, other preachers and other apostles, even people outside the church, you know, they somehow you feel obligated and you do, you know, pay for the things that you get. You know, they've taken advantage of this authority over you. He says, and we, as your spiritual father, he says, certainly have this authority over you, and we don't use it. Because he didn't want to put, as he says, rather than put any obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ, lest anyone say he's taking advantage of us, lest anyone say, and there's this other part I read in a commentary, there were all kinds of people in Corinth and in the Corinthian church, rich people, powerful people, poor people, regular people, people like us. And he didn't want to be used, you know, by anyone that would possibly give him money. Okay, we sometimes see that. If some, you know, big donor, whatever, and then, you know, they want a favor or whatever. So he said, with you, I'm pure. He says, I don't want to put any kind of obstacle in the gospel. So we learn, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory that that's what's going on. But from such a passage, we also learn some information about the church at that time. We learn the information about church governance, that yes, it's appropriate to pay your clergy and your staff and all the people that, you know, minister in the gospel. And also, like a detail about St. Paul. Some people think St. Paul is saying, well, don't I have a right to bring my wife along? Our church accepts that Paul was not married. There are a couple places and some indications that maybe he was, but when he's speaking, is it to the Romans or again to the Corinthians, when he's saying, you know, about the single people and the widows, you know, you do have permission to get married if you want, but I think it would be better if you remain like I am, which would mean that he was single, that he was celibate, okay? So that's the prevailing opinion about St. Paul. St. Peter, we know, was married. Other apostles were married. It's not a, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not certainly not prohibited. But we learn these details by a careful reading and comparison of things that are in the epistle. That for today. Let's stand and pray.